When I got home from school that afternoon, my father was in his workshop. I bought the raisins. We will now put them in to soak. Fetch me a bowl of water, Danny. I went over to the caravan and got a bowl and half filled it with water. I carried it to the workshop and put it on the bench. Open up the packets and tip them all in, my father said. This was one of the really nice things about my father. He didn't take over and want to do everything himself. He always let me go ahead and do it myself, while he watched and stood ready to help. He was watching me now as I opened the first packet of raisins. Hey, he cried, grabbing my left wrist. What's happened to your hand?
It's nothing.
He made me open it up. The long scarlet mark lay across my palm like a burn. Who did it? He shouted. Was it Captain Lancaster?
Yes, Dad, but it's nothing.
What happened? He was gripping my wrist so hard it almost hurt. Tell me exactly what happened. I told him everything. He stood there holding my wrist, his face going whiter and whiter. I'll kill him, he softly whispered. I swear I'll kill him. His eyes were blazing. I'd never seen him look like that before.
Forget it, Dad.
I will not forget it. You did nothing wrong, and he had absolutely no right to do this to you.
So he called you a cheat, did he?
I nodded. He'd taken his jacket from the peg on the wall and was putting it on.
Where are you going?
I am going straight to Captain Lancaster's house, and I'm going to beat the daylights out of him.
No, I cried, catching hold of his arm. Don't do it, Dad, please.
I've got to.
No, it'll only make it worse. Please forget it.
He hesitated then. He was silent. I could see the rush of anger slowly draining out of his face. It's revolting, he said.
I bet they did it when you were at school.
Of course they did.
And I bet your dad didn't go rushing off to beat the daylights out of the teacher who did it.
He looked at me, but kept quiet.
He didn't, did he, Dad?
No, Danny, he didn't. I let go of his arm and helped him off with his jacket and hung it back on the peg.
I'm going to put the raisins in now. And don't forget that tomorrow I have a nasty cold and I won't be going to school.
Yes, that's right.
We got 200 raisins to fill.
Ah, so we have.
I hope we get them done in time.
Does it still hurt, that hand?
No, not one bit.
I think that satisfied him. And although I saw him glancing occasionally at my palm during the rest of the afternoon and evening, he never mentioned the subject again. That night, he didn't tell me a story. He sat on the edge of my bunk, and we talked about what was going to happen the next day up in Hazel's Wood. We were so steamed up and excited, it took a long time before we eventually fell asleep. When my father woke me at 6 o'clock next morning, I knew at once that this was the day of days. It was the day I longed for, and the day I dreaded. It was also the day of butterflies in the stomach, except that they were worse than butterflies, they were snakes. The first thing I did after I'd got dressed was to hang the sorry closed notice on one of the pumps. We had a quick breakfast, and then the two of us sat down together at the table in the caravan to prepare the raisins. They were plump and soft and swollen from being soaked in water, and when you nicked them with a razor blade, the skin sprang open and the jelly stuff inside squeezed out as easily as you could wish. I slit the raisins while my father opened the capsules. He opened only one at a time and poured the white powder onto a piece of paper. Then he divided it into four tiny piles with the blade of a knife. Each pile was carefully scooped up and put into a single raisin. A needle and black cotton finished the job. The sewing up was the hardest part, and my father did most of that. It took about 2 minutes to do one raisin from start to finish.
It was fun.
Your mother was wonderful at sewing things. She'd have had these raisins done in no time. I didn't say anything. I never knew quite what to say when he talked about my mother. Did you know she used to make all my clothes herself, Danny?
Even socks and sweaters?
Yes, but those were knitted. I would sit here in the evening watching her, and she used to talk about the children she was going to have. I shall have 3 children, a boy for you, a girl for me, and one for good measure. There was a short silence after that. Then I said,
When Mum was here, Dad, did you go out very often at night? Or was it only now and then?
You mean poaching?
Yes.
Often, at least twice a week.
Didn't she mind?
Mind? Of course she didn't mind. She came with me.
She didn't.
She certainly did. She came with me every single time just before you were born. She had to stop then. She said she couldn't run fast enough.
I thought about this extraordinary piece of news. Was the only reason she went because she loved you, Dad? Or did she go because she loved poaching?
Both.
I was beginning to realize what an immense sorrow it must have been to him when she died. Weren't you afraid she might get shot up?
Yes, Danny, I was. But it was marvellous to have her along.